I want to take you to Psalms 27. Psalms 27. And this is to kind of give you a heads up that a lot of people say, Lord, 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 but he's only Lord of the front room. He's not Lord of the kitchen, bathroom, back shed, attic, cellar. Got it? Those hiding places. So, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For me, the spirit of fear, I would say, brought torment into my life from the time I was very, very small, even before birth. I could go into details, but it's not important. What is important is this particular psalm began to awaken me that God's light and the natural light we understand is two different things. Seeing, as Rena was pointing out, seeing in a new way from the Lord's perspective will change your life. Fear usually is associated with darkness. And whenever you have darkness, fear literally has an opportunity to come in. If you're dealing with little kids, you put a night light on, or you do something to alleviate the dark. But when you're a little more mature and you begin to declare God's word, it has power to eradicate much more than the light bulb. So I would definitely say to you that if you're going to put something to memory, the first few verses of Psalms 27 might be a good investment. Because when you declare, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Then you're declaring, the Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. So now you're decreeing. You're decreeing that the adversary cannot do what he has planned to do. Okay? Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. So now you're going a little deeper because you're actually declaring that even an entire army cannot really damage you and me. Because we are secure in his love. When you're declaring the second part of verse 3, though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. Well, when war breaks out against you and you start looking at your circumstances, what happens? Yeah. And the fear brings in confusion. Rejection is also another aspect of the fear of greater rejection or rejection at a deeper level. So that's another aspect. Even when you're declaring, I will be confident, you're now reversing the darkness and its plan. Verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Now, with my Catholic background, I could tell you that I wanted to stay in the church and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, which was the tabernacle. All of these things kept me from understanding the real truth But it took me a while. I had to learn that the Word of God was superior to my traditions. And I'm not against anybody. You understand? I'm not anti, because I don't believe in that. I believe that the Holy Spirit has invaded every church. He's invaded many churches that, let's say, overworked the legal system and brought all kinds of destruction. And it created an atmosphere that the saints couldn't function in because they had no say. Only the hierarchy had any authority. All right, is that anti? Yes, it is anti-Christ. It's anti-anointing. Every vessel in the house of the Lord has value. Yes, there's some that might be used for a different purpose and a different giftings, but they're all important. So look at your neighbor, say, get a heads up on this one. Seek him in the temple. Meaning me and you as his temple. Amen?
Amen.
Not a gold box.
Amen.
Got it?
Got it.
Not a gold box. Okay? The Jews had their places of worship. And they would focus to try to get there at all costs. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the real temple that he is rebuilding is you and me. It's not a building that's going to be in the middle of Jerusalem. You say, well, how will you get that one? Well, because the scripture says that we are his temple. How and why does it need to be rebuilt? Why and how does it need to be rebuilt? Go ahead. Yeah.
He can come.
Mm-hmm. The old self, the antichrist me, has to be put under good strong anesthesia, right? We need to be zonked sometimes in order to let him come in because we are so sure of ourselves. Okay? And all that assurance is really flesh. But the real temple that he's putting together is a recreated humanity. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Yeah, praise God. Then you have a need for more of him. Okay? And, you know, this earthly suit that we have, it's got flaws sometimes. And it does run into problems periodically. But if we hold on and we declare the word of the Lord, he will restore and he will recreate. Why does he recreate? Because it needs to be recreated. And sometimes he'll arrest you. How many have ever been arrested by him? Yeah. I don't like what you're doing, Lord. Did you put me in jail on purpose? It's a jail without bars sometimes, but it's still jail. Why? Because he wants you to cry out to him to recreate your temple the way that he needs to have it done. Well, I want the gifts like Linda's got. I want the gifts like Susie's got. I want this gift. I want that gift. Good. Get them all. But do them not for yourself.
Amen.
Because what happens is many of the gifts that are given, they are given in order to bring people up, to give them value. Which is where I started. Everybody starts at the beginning of the ladder. And then all of a sudden he pulls the ladder away and you go. And you find yourself on the bottom and you say, what am I doing here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why does he readjust us? He wants us to cry out. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple, to seek him inside of me, to see him working through me every day, 7 days a week, Not just on Sunday morning. Every day. His intention is to see you be used wherever you are. On the job, at the counter, waiting for somebody. Getting on the bus, whatever, wherever. He wants you to be able to say, okay, I'm available to you, Lord. Can I encourage this one? Can I help this one? Can I help that one? And please, be aware that you are looking for him inside of you. Because that's where he is. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that he's not in the heavens either. Don't get me wrong. But his spirit is within you. Verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Did you hear that? He will keep me safe in his dwelling. Where? Inside of your very heart. And your mind, will, and emotions, if you focus on the reality that he's inside, you're no longer alone. Amen? Amen. Verse 6. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. That's your thought patterns, right? At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. Some of you made music to him tonight. Were you trying to entertain somebody? I hope not. I hope not. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. My heart says of you, seek his face. What is your heart? That's your inner man. That's your spirit man. That's where the Holy Ghost is. He operates through his spirit within you and me. It's not somewhere else. He's here. Out of me shall flow rivers of... Yeah. So you can take a bath once in a while. Okay? Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have seen my help. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. Oh God, my Savior. Now, is this an emotional situation? Yes. Do you think King David was the only one who had problems with emotions? We all do. Now, if you are in an emotional space, sometimes you got to spit it out. Talk to him about it. If you're upset, get over it. Tell him, I'm having a problem today, Lord. Come on. He can take it. And when you talk to him, sometimes my best conversations usually are in the car.
Amen.
All right. Or the bathtub. Yeah, it's good space. Good space. Yeah. Good bathtub or shower, right? Bubble bath, whatever. You just blow a few extra bubbles. Okay. But what I'm getting at is do not be afraid to communicate. That's your best prayer. There's no fakiness in that. Oh, I love you, Lord Jesus. And I'm still angry about what you did last week. Well, come on. If you know the rubber is going to hit the road, you might as well be honest with him. Don't try to fool him. He already knows.
Amen.
He's inside your heart. Mm-hmm. I'm having a real hard day, Lord, and this is so tough. But I'm going to thank you and praise you anyway because I know you're inside and I know you are in my tabernacle and my temple's being restored. It's being recreated. Even as I speak, it's being recreated. Why is there a smile on your face, Gail? Yeah, he's talking about all of us in this word, okay? Verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Yeah. See, that's what I was sharing with the time with Holy Communion. Rejection is a deadly disease. And when you are partaking of it on a daily basis, you will overdose on darkness. Did you hear me? Close your eyes right now, because we're hitting home. Say, rejection.
Rejection.
Is a deadly disease.
Is a deadly disease.
It was designed by hell.
It was designed by hell.
To destroy the creation.
To destroy the creation.
And to destroy us.
And to destroy us.
It will not succeed.
It will not succeed.
Because we are overcomers.
Because we are overcomers.
And we're taking choices tonight.
And we're taking choices tonight.
Jesus will keep me safe.
Jesus will keep me safe.
He will shelter me.
And protect me.
And recreate me.
And
keep this temple going forward.
Getting
stronger and stronger every day.
Even if I don't feel it.
Hallelujah. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Because of my oppressors. See, the pressure from the oppressors is consistent. Okay? So, by mentioning it, you're identifying the darkness and you're letting it be under your feet. That's where it needs to go. Verse 12. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. Why? I'll give you an example. When you give people the truth, you're going to irritate people.
Yes. Amen.
Okay? They're going to get upset with you. And they may be walking out of church and they may be quite angry at you. And they may say, well, I don't agree with that person. I don't agree with their word of knowledge because it doesn't fit my circumstances because I refuse to take that word. And yet, I've had that happen to me. And I'm not trying to accuse anybody. I'm just trying to tell you it happens. And I remember one particular incident. And I was really troubled because I'm driving home. Tears are rolling out of my cheeks because I'm already aware that the anger is in this person. And they're very angry with me. So I get home and the phone's ringing. And it's this person's best friend. And they said to me, did you notice so-and-so was angry with you tonight? I says, well, gee, you know, put the lights on, people. You know. I could tell. And so the best friend said, well, you kind of exposed their weakness. I said, I did. I didn't know I had exposed their weakness. I had no idea. Because I didn't know what their weakness was. But if your best friend has a weakness, you might know about it. And the word of knowledge was given, and they took it in the wrong direction. And they refused to accept it. And they said to me, don't stop praying for them because they're refusing to see the light. And I said, oh. Forgive your adversary quickly. Because your adversary could be heading down the wrong road. You and I could be heading down the wrong road. This is applicable to every single one of us because we have a tendency to judge.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right?
Okay, a critical spirit will do you great. You'll feel so good about yourself. You'll be so happy because you finally got it off your chest. But you laid it on somebody else's heart. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, do not criticize, do not find fault. It'll come right back on you. And it will. But people don't want to hear it. It's time to awaken to the fact that Jesus forgave those who put nails in his feet. And he said, Papa, set them free. Don't hold no sin against them. That should be your prayer. It's a willing prayer. It's not something that's comfortable. Verse 13. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, wow. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Now, the most difficult job you'll ever have is to wait for the Lord. That is the most difficult job to do because you want to activate your... How many know you got a three-speed motor? and a 5-speed transmission. And you want to go forward faster than the Lord, and the Lord says, uh-uh. Now, none of you have ever done that, so.
You got it? Close your eyes. Say, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I need oodles of grace to wait for the Lord. I need more grace to be strong and take heart and to really wait for Him and to work on my patience diligently with another dose of grace. In Jesus' name, I pray. You got it. Psalm 27 can change your life. Psalms 27 can transform your whole way of thinking if you take time to dissect it. And while you're waiting, He'll be healing. While you're patiently waiting.
I just heard something really funny. He says, don't send your patients to the hospital.